Offspring, Hammerhead, 93.3 WMMR. That's a good tune. It is 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Rain on the way today. Heavy rain on the way today. By 2 o'clock, I expect some flooding in some areas of where, so, as well. So if you're prone in your region, just know that may make travel a little bit funky today. We're going to take a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic, I think. Kathy, you there?
Yes. Oh, right, my video is not on. Sorry. I apologize.
That's all right. What's going on?
So we're pretty clear on the roadways. We do have some construction in some spots. So Schuylkill westbound between Front Street and Penrose Avenue. We've got that long-term construction project there. But everything moving along nicely through it. No problems on the eastbound side of the Schuylkill Expressway. 95 is okay. We had a problem earlier this morning near the Betsy Ross Bridge. That is now completely gone. Broad Street northbound at the Schuylkill. Those ramps, they have construction, and they've narrowed the ramps in both directions. The ramp to the westbound Schuylkill is closed for trucks. And then if you're in New Jersey, again, we had some problems and some construction over there, but everything seems to be moving along okay. On the New Jersey Turnpike, just watch for construction in the right lane between the Turnpike Connector Bridge and the Delaware Ridge Bridge Toll Plaza. And on Mass Transit, everything moving along okay. Everything running on a Saturday schedule, except for the regional rail lines. They've adjusted to that Lifeline service schedule where they're running every 2 hours. This traffic report brought to you by Lidl. Hey there, shoppers. At Lidl, high quality doesn't have to be expensive. Discover everything from organic meat to fresh produce, all at discount prices every day. Hungry for more? Find your nearest store at Lidl.com. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Right, thanks, Kathy. We're going to get Eric Bazillion from the Hooters on in just a little bit. There's a Philly special, music special, and art special coming up this weekend, which we'll get the details on. I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
Anybody see Kathy's Instagram post of her dancing yesterday?
No, yes. I did not.
Oh, my God, Kathy.
I know. I love it.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, those videos are from years ago, but it was my years of dancing.
What club?
When we would perform salsa dancing, we would perform a lot. So I grabbed some of the videos, which I had never posted. And yesterday apparently was International Dance Day. And being stuck in the house and not being able to do a dance like that, because a lot of times it's a partner dance. You dance with somebody, you touch them, you hold hands with them, and we're not able to do that right now.
If you've ever had a Kathy thing, guys, there's your video. There you go, Kathy. She's wearing the salsa outfits. I mean, they're sexy outfits. I mean, it's part of the whole thing. It's a saucy routine. But this dance routine you're doing in the beginning, you had to have worked on that for a long time, because there's a lot of moves in that.
You know what? That was like in the prime of when I was dancing. So a long time to you was probably not all that long. But yes, we did work very hard on that. We practiced a lot. And all of them we did. I posted a video of me and a partner I used to dance with, and then a couple of group dances that I did with some of my friends that I made in the salsa community.
Kath, is it tough like picking a partner, or are you just kind of like paired with somebody that you don't really get a choice?
Oh, no. It's like a whole issue in the salsa community, getting a partner that you like to dance with. Because when you find somebody that's good and you gel and you can really dance together, there are five women for every guy that's decent enough to dance with. So everybody wants to dance with them.
Yeah. So this video that we're watching here, is it a show or a competition?
So this was, I just did shows. We would just perform. I didn't compete. So all of them were shows.
What made you stop? Because it's, you were into it heavily and,
Oh, Steve, if you'd like to get into the politics of salsa dancing one day, I could explain to you.
Really?
Politics of salsa dancing.
Yeah, you know what? The community split in Philadelphia. It was kind of one joint community for a really long time, and something happened, and a few people split from that, and they kind of tore it apart. So it isn't what it used to be. It's a shame. And a lot of the studios now where I could go that have decent classes are too far for me.
It's like a Bloods and Crips thing?
Don't you hate it when stuff like that ruins something that you're
totally,
into?
Totally.
You know where that actually happens a lot? Are like charities.
Charities!
Yeah.
Charities start to get petty and greedy. They're all doing the right thing, but everybody gets greedy as to credit and growing events and things like that, and kind of start to lose sight of the big
overall, yes. Yeah, so it used to be quite common in the animal charity realm, and though there is a really sort of good nurturing thing in Philadelphia now, there's been a lot of the organizations work together. But yeah, you're right, Preston, in the charity, because they're motivated by passion, and of course that leads to heightened emotions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I think there's people that are like, well, I could do this better.
I could do it better. You know? I'm a better salsa dancer.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right, Case. You know what, though? This has kind of been a time for me, though, because one of the choreographers that I loved working with, he was probably my favorite, moved out to L.A. years ago. And now that we're all stuck at home, I'm taking his classes online. He's doing classes. And so, yeah, it's been pretty cool.
It's good to see you again. He's dancing close to you.
He's actually the guy that I'm hugging in one of the pictures.
Yes, I remember that time. Caressing your curves was the highlight of my life. Perhaps we could get together again and dance to Lambada from a safe distance.
Steve, he's gay.
Yes, but you turned me.
I knew I would. It's okay, baby. I can work with gay.
Yes. I can work with gay.
So, Kath, when these factions split, and you're kind of like sitting there hovering in the middle, and you kind of have to choose a side.
Yeah.
Then you're essentially choosing a side.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
even though you don't want to choose a side.
And that's the problem. And not to get too much into it, but the side that I chose, you know, or whatever. It's such a long story. But unfortunately, she doesn't have as many salsa classes at her studio anymore. And her studio is the closest. So, you know, really what we do now is just to go out and social dance.
Mm. I'm getting some calls or texts that come in of people who have similar circumstances with divides. And somebody texted in and said churches split.
Yes.
Another one says same division occurs in volunteer fire companies all over the place. Oh, wow. Lots of people trying to be king of the world in their own little kingdom.
You never really thought of that. It does become that. So people become very covetous, whatever it is. In any dynamic where there's a group, there are factions form, and it's our nature as humans to break into smaller groups.
Yeah.
And that's what starts to happen, and everyone controls their little fiefdom, and that becomes a thing.
City council meetings are known to really ugly and split, you know, and take things personally.
Running away club, the same thing happened.
You had a divide in the running away club?
Yeah, we had one clubhouse that was in between these two garages. And the next thing you know, it ended up behind another garage.
Son of a bitch.
What was wrong with this garage?
Yeah. Ruins the most innocent of things. Yep. Children want to run away from home.
And then the others decide, well, we'll just run halfway from home.
Yeah.
Wow. Run down the block. Yeah, no, it's a natural thing. I didn't realize the salsa world was that competitive, but I guess it is.
The politics of salsa.
Yeah, it's very intertwined.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, I don't love it, but it's interesting.
I love the people.
And listen, I can't find common ground. It's wonderful.
Wait, can I say something?
What?
While I have the floor. Speaking of salsa dancing, I know that there are studios out there that may not be focused solely on salsa, but that hold salsa classes. So if you have a dance studio and you offer salsa classes, I would love to hear about them and hear who your instructors are. So email me.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. People are now I'm getting more texts coming in and saying, like, the Boy Scouts get that way, too.
They have salsa?
No.
You know what else?
A few texts have come in and says, Boy Scout troops split and parents get very petty.
Also, travel soccer leagues can insane. And my cousin's daughters are really good at soccer. You know, they're on the track for scholarships and stuff like that. And it was like the one team decided to defect to go with another coach who had left that league. And it was bizarre, but backstabbing.
Yeah, we saw the same thing in football in my community. Yeah.
Or World War II between the Allies and the Axis powers.
I mean, right. All these
little petty things.
Wow.
Started with soccer.
Listen, anyhow, watch Kathy's salsa video, even though there's a divide, a clear split in the salsa community.
There was a time. When unity reigned supreme.
It was a beautiful, wonderful, giant group hug, and Kathy was a big part of it. But no, watch her video.
I miss you, Kathy.
It's very impressive.
I miss you so much.
Her ability. Oh, that's breakdancing music. I miss the flamenco music.
I am here in Los Angeles, the city of angels.
All right. So anyhow, well, check Kathy's Instagram account. It's very impressive. All right. So I'm going to play, speaking of impressive, our next guest has done his version of a classic, one of the all-time great songs. I think one of the most honest things that John Lennon ever wrote. Which is Help, and he did a version of this. Listen to this; it's a pretty cool take on it.
Help me if you can. I'm feeling down.
actually is being released today, which is cool. So, calling all the way from Stockholm, Sweden. 2 days in a row, we've had a call from Stockholm, Sweden.
It's crazy.
Mr. Eric Bazillion of the Hooters. Hey. Good morning. Hey. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing fine. You know, I'm here in the land of lockdown light.
Yeah. You're right. It's a little bit lighter restriction-wise. And we were just talking to Michael Remberg yesterday. And Nick was saying now you two are going to, like, meet up or something like that?
Well, we met in 1993 for the first time when the Hooters played in his hometown of Piteå in the very north of Sweden. And we stayed in touch after that. In fact, we my wife and I hung out with him and his family when they were living in New Jersey. In fact, our son took his first steps at his house in Florida.
Wow. Oh, so you guys are good friends.
We have been, yeah. We always had a great time together. We've fallen out of touch lately, and hopefully we will take up our friendship again now that we're both here.
I hope we played a little part in that.
I would like to say we did, and even if we didn't, we're going to say we did.
Yeah.
I'd say you did. I think you can say that confidently. Yeah.
All right. So, Eric, yeah, we'll talk about a few things, but clearly this event that's coming up this weekend is something that we want to touch on, and you and a bunch of other great Philly acts are going to be getting together to perform and get some donations. Can you tell us a little bit about this this event?
Well, it's a 30 amp circuit grants that have been created for working musicians who can't work now. You know, people who pound the pavements and play at clubs and bars and restaurants and whatever they can do, and everyone's out of work now. So it's very important to keep them alive so that when things do open up again, we still have the thriving, wonderful music scene we have in Philadelphia.
Right.
So obviously you're calling in. You're obviously in Sweden right now, and as everything happens, everyone's going to be calling in or connecting in from far flung areas and doing your music that way. Is that how it's going to be?
Yeah, I think I'm probably the farthest flung of the contributors to this thing.
Yeah, I'm betting that.
But yeah, that's the idea is that everyone's going to do their thing from wherever they're sheltered in place, or in my case, sort of sheltered, sort of in place.
All right, are you going to? Is everybody doing a song, a handful of tunes, collaborating?
It varies. I'm doing three.
You're doing three songs, okay.
I mean, there's a massive roster of people involved with this, and so it's going for the full couple of days. Is everyone pretty much doing like three or four songs?
I'm doing three. I have a couple of friends who are doing one. I know it starts tomorrow. I think I'm doing mine on Sunday.
Okay, yeah, and it's called, for those who don't know, it's called Love from Philly. And you'll be able to watch it on lovefromphilly.live, by the way. So you'll be able to catch Eric and G-Love and John Oates and Kurt Vile from, Freeway Philadelphia. There's a lot going on. Now, you guys are scheduled, the Hooters, Eric, to play Hoagie Nation Festival September 4th. And that's a firm date as of now, I believe, right?
As of now, it is, yeah. There's some other issues involved with that for us. We haven't firmed that up quite yet.
Okay.
And who knows what anything's going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, everything's so fluid right now. We've had to move events, our big MMRBQ concert, and we have dates later on in the year. Whether or not that's going to happen, we'll have to wait and see how things play out. So, it's got to be... you talk about people not being able to work right now, and when work eventually does come back around, it seems like there's going to be an overload.
It's
going to catch up.
The calendar is just going to get super dense with events. We had to postpone our French Kiss Fest, Preston, because that seemed too dangerous at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not so socially distant now.
Right. It just wouldn't work.
No.
But,
well, I hope that things do open up and charge forward. I think people are going to be a bit cautious about assembling in large groups after this.
Well, I think ultimately what's going to happen is that, we find our way. We figure out things. We become innovative. And there's different things that can be done to get us out and back to, to living again, which is an essential part, because everyone agrees you can't stay in lockdown forever, because there are a whole host of issues
that are going to be exacerbated and currently are with other issues that will arise from being in this condition. So we have to approach it smartly and get back to these things that we you know, that we look forward to. And with each of them that starts to roll out, I think you can hear people start to take a bit of a breath and go, okay, we're going in the right direction. There's innovations and things occurring. But you're right. We got to do it smartly. And yep. But, I mean, when you see a thing like, you know, like I was saying to Casey earlier, things like sports and concerts and things, that will telegraph that we're heading home when we start to be able to attend those and feel a little bit more confident about that.
Absolutely. You know, I know some friends of mine in Germany are doing a tour of drive-in theaters this summer.
That's great. That should be cool. That's great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, I wanted to ask about your cover of Help. And did you choose that song because of what's going on right now and the theme of that, of helping each other out? Or what was or just because it's an awesome freaking song?
So, you know, actually, I covered that song by accident.
Oh, do tell.
So I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the chord changes are completely different from the original.
Yeah. The verse, the chorus has a little bit of the original melody, but the verse is completely different.
Well, the melody is the same.
So I
did change one note in the chorus, but the melody is actually the same. The chord changes are completely different. And
interesting.
What happened was I came up with this musical track with these chord changes and that guitar part and the mandola part. And I started singing to it, which is how I write songs. And Help came out. I started singing Help over it. And I thought about it for about 30 seconds. And I realized I'm never going to write a better song than that over that music. And I realized that, in fact, it really is very apropos to the times now. And that, yes, we really do need to help each other. We need help from each other. And and it's actually, if you go and look on your digital outlets, you'll see the artwork, which my son and I did, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, we're looking at it right now. It's you in sign language spelling out the word help, but wearing latex rubber gloves.
Yeah.
So I get what you're going for there. That's pretty cool.
Right, which is an homage to the Beatles' original cover, which was the four of
Semaphore.
Them. Doing Semaphore, right, in blue coats. So. Yeah.
Okay. So is your, when you're creating a song, is the formula always the same? Is it, you'll sing just to get the melody right? Because I think coming up with lyrics is really, really, you know, can be difficult. And so do you just kind of like Paul McCartney, ham and eggs, right? Or
Paul will play a chord progression, and he'll start to sing a melody, and then he'll get an idea. And then, you know, everybody's got their own formula. And is that kind of how you do it, Eric?
That's how I approach it. That's not how it always happens. You know, sometimes I'll get a title. Sometimes I'll be walking around and a melody will pop into my head. But usually, yeah, that is my process. I'll come up with a guitar riff, some chord changes, and start singing. And the lyrics just come out. And it's like therapy for me, because usually it'll tell me something that I've been thinking that I didn't know I was thinking.
Right. Now, Paul uses breakfast food. Do you use lunch food mainly when you substitute?
You guys should know by now, I use Bible stories.
Bible stories. That's
You're right.
You're
one of us.
A quick question. I don't know if you've seen any of the other performances. There's been so many. A lot of musicians and just people in general stepping up for COVID relief and all of that thing. You know, it's people in the service industry, clubs, and other musicians that are out of work. There's just so many good things to support. Any of the performances have you seen, and did any of them stand out for you?
You know, I've seen so many of them, and they're all incredibly touching. It's funny, one of the first ones I saw was a friend of mine who's a classical mandolin player from Israel who lives in Berlin. And he and a bunch of classical musicians did a show from the Berlin Concert House, the empty concert house. And it was so moving. We were in tears here.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah, they're actually doing, I sent a story over to Preston this morning that they're doing something from, I think, the Grand Ole Opry. An empty Grand Ole Opry with Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood. Yeah. So you're getting a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of heartbreaking in a way, but it's also uplifting, you know, to see that, you know, we do what we have to do. We do what we can do. You know, our job as entertainers is to entertain in whatever form we can.
And most entertainers in their beginning played for an empty venue, so it's a throwback to the old days, right?
Right. And, you know, I started out making music in the basement, and you know, my studio is sitting empty in Philadelphia, and so I'm actually back in the basement here in Stockholm with a laptop and a couple of guitars and a microphone.
Nice. So what have you been, now obviously, you know, you're talking about Sweden's restrictions are a lot less than what they are in the U.S., but so people have been filling their times here, you know, watching shows and you know, cooking and doing some things like that. And you've always been a big pop culture guy. Is there anything that you're diving into as far as what you're watching or keeping an eye on?
You know, there was a lot of time on Netflix and HBO in the beginning. I'm reading now.
Ah. What is that?
Remember that? Yeah, which you know, something I used to do quite a bit of, and I haven't done so much of lately, but now I've gone for the deep dive. I'm reading The Brothers Karamazov.
Wow. Okay, you're serious. You're
I don't not even know what that around. Is. What is that? That's so serious I don't even know, Eric.
Dostoevsky. It's, you know, it's Russian Dostoevsky. Literature.
Wow.
I remember when I years ago, I read War and Peace, and at the end of it, I thought to myself, wow, why did I do that? It was just laborious, but sometimes the classics are classics for reason, and sometimes you're wondering, who the hell thought this was a classic? But so what's your take on it so far as you're diving deep into it?
It's pretty deep. Really, the hardest thing is the names, keeping track of the names.
Yes.
A, they're Russian. B, everyone's got three names, and they keep changing them. Like, they'll have three different nicknames in two chapters.
Yeah, and it becomes a book that is a monster to read, but as awesome as Dune. We've talked about this, the Dune. Frank Herbert. Yeah, but it's a complex read.
Yeah,
absolutely, but so worth it. I've read that three times.
Yeah, I love that book. Hey, by the way, we've been asking everyone this question during the pandemic. Have you made any banana bread?
I've made a lot of banana smoothies.
Okay. They'll take that.
I'm always trying to find something to do with the bananas. And a lot of it ends up in the bread. But, yes, smoothies are a good go-to as well. When do you see yourself coming back to Philly, Eric? Any idea?
That's up to the airlines. You know, I have a voucher for my return flight. I was supposed to go back in April and work with Rob on the now postponed 40th anniversary Hooters tour. Obviously, you know, Hoagie Nation isn't happening in May. But I'm hanging tight here until someone says you can go. You know?
Okay.
Well, if this serves as extra impetus for you to return here, IKEA has released the Swedish meatball recipe to the United States. Mm. So we're good to go.
Thank God. I hope they have vegan ones for me.
Vegan. Speaking of Swedish food, Eric, a couple of years ago, and I'm just curious if you've ever been around this stuff. We mentioned this to Remberg yesterday, but I was in Sweden and visiting a friend in Gothenburg, and she gave me a can of this stuff to bring back. She said, open it in the studio. It was surströmming.
Surströmming, sour herring.
Oh, my herring. God. Have you ever smelled it?
I have smelled it, and I've eaten it.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Many times.
Please don't tell me you like it.
Well, you know, the smell is really the initiation because it doesn't actually taste like the smell. I have to admit that the second time I ate it, I enjoyed the experience. It's the experience more than it is the actual taste.
So,
you know, it's kind of like the first time you smoke a cigarette, it just is not good. And then after a while, it stays not good.
Listen. That we had two foods that we were trying in the studio that day. We were having a durian fruit, which is considered the smelliest food on earth, and we had that as well. And of the two, I tasted both. The surströmming was hands down the saltiest thing I've ever had in my life. It was just almost knocked me off my feet. You're okay with that?
Well, did you eat it straight out of the can?
Yes.
Ah, you see, what they do here is they dress it up.
Oh.
They put it on a piece of thin bread with onions and potatoes and sour cream and
And I think I think you're supposed to rinse it first, Eric, and we didn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that was my mistake. I think if I buried it under 60 feet of chocolate pudding, I could take it.
Right.
Yeah.
I had nightmares about the smell of that.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. You know what? We have a picture on our wall back home in Philadelphia of me at my face the first time I smelled it.
We needed, we kid you not, we had to secure a company that brought by an industrial air skimmer to remove the smell from the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? You never open it inside.
Yes.
Yeah. We found that out.
We've been told. And it can explode, too, as well, which is crazy.
Oh, a really good can will look like a bowling ball before you open it.
Yeah, it's actually pushed out a little bit.
Oh, Jesus.
I have another can.
I'm having nightmares.
I have another can of it.
Well, then we got to do it the right way, right?
For a special occasion. Yeah. So we'll
make
see.
Make a smoothie.
That's funny. My wife is laughing over there because she's from the northern part of Sweden, which is really where it comes from. In fact, I'm surprised your friend in Gothenburg had it because it's most people south of the middle line of the country have never tasted it.
Hey, let me ask you, if your wife is from the northern part of Sweden, does she do that inhale thing, that thing? You know what I'm talking about?
Not that far north.
Okay, all right.
What is this?
It's like an acknowledgement. It means like, yeah, you go like that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sarah just pointed out my brother-in-law does it.
Okay. Yeah, my wife's cousin. So, in fact, he came. It's not like it's not that.
That's an out.
That's no.
Yes. He came to visit us last year and brought a bunch of Swedish friends, but he was the only one that would do it. And we'd say, yeah, you want to go out? And he'd go like that. And he'd go, yeah. I'm sorry. He's like, I'm so used to doing that. I know you guys don't know what that means, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All sometimes they'll go,
huh? Huh. Okay.
I knew that was coming. Look, I just knew
you were meant to be there. All right, interesting. Well, listen, Eric, we're gonna point everybody in the direction of the Love from Philly concert. You are performing on Sunday, and people can watch us on lovefromphilly.live. And we encourage you to do that because obviously a lot of people in the music and arts industry are like a lot of people.
They're hurting.
Are hurting. So,
by the way, you should also watch tomorrow. An artist that I've been working with for a long time, Alexis Cunningham, is doing a song that I'm with her on. I actually played guitar here, and she's going to sing to my guitar image on the screen behind her. Alexis and the Medicine is the band.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Excellent. 3 days.
Always, always good to talk to you, Eric. Thanks a bunch, man.
Hey guys, it's great, just great to hear voices from home.
hopefully, we'll be seeing you soon. Thanks a bunch, Eric Bazillion.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
What a connection, man. His phone line is perfect.
I know. Does that blow your mind?
It's luck of the draw. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's
bad. And no delay, nothing.
Nope. That was good to talk to him. We have another caller on the line, and I think this is Craig. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Preston.
How you doing, bud?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I hear you're doing really good.
Oh, I mean, you guys were rude enough to call me and wake me up.
Oh, yeah.
Just to give me $500.
Oh, that's what it's all about! $500 for Craig. Craig, where did we call you to instead of where are you calling from?
That thing been come to known as.
Haddon Township, New Jersey.
Ah. Haddon Township, New Jersey. Very nice. What are you doing with yourself these days, Craig?
Just waiting on my boss to send me work every morning, and it doesn't always happen, so that's kind of a nice thing.
All right, well, the $500 is certainly going to help out, right?
Absolutely.
All right, man. Listen, we appreciate it. Congratulations to you. We're happy to give you $500 for MMR. Yeah! Craig, nice job, bud. Hang on. Well, there it is. Another shot to win at 10 a.m.
And I love it.
You need to listen for the word, and we'll give you the information in a little while. Hey, before we take a break or anything like that, I know we have stuff coming up in a little bit, but can I read a couple of these frontline hero things?
Let's do it. We got derailed with hookers earlier, so
we did. If you're going to get derailed with anything,
yeah, you get derailed with a hooker. That's hookers, what Grandma always said.
Way to go. No, I had. Now listen, we're getting loads and loads and loads of requests to put our frontline hero signs in people's yards. We only have so many to go around. We had our friend Harley from Window Nation call yesterday. He's going to foot the bill for 200 more signs.
Yes.
So we will start getting those out as soon as they are made, which might be as soon as tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see.
It's quite possible.
But we're obviously getting loads of requests. We're not going to be able to get to all of them. And I would like to, however, maybe read a couple on the air.
Yes.
And that way we can acknowledge them. That way we're not going to be able to read all of those either. So
we can't do anything.
Marissa's kind of randomly grabbing a few. We're doing what we can, which is what everybody's doing.
So consider every, again, in a way, an acknowledgement of someone else. If you don't hear your name, is an acknowledgement of you as well.
Yes, Kath.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, so I was out in King of Prussia yesterday, and I delivered what I had left, and it was the first time that I had run into somebody. I was there a little bit later than I normally go out, and Jason and I were in her yard, and she was coming outside to walk, and she just kind of stopped and looked at me, and I was like, oh, hi. Are you? I forget her name. I think her name was Joan. And then she was like, oh, my God, I was just on your website. I was just looking at your pictures of you guys.
Excellent.
And so, yeah, so I finally got to meet somebody. But cool. She.
What's your salsa school?
No, but it was very nice. And so, yeah, I can't wait to get out again.
Actually, awesome. Press in your stack of emails there that you have an email that's referencing that.
Oh, apparently. It is?
Yeah.
Oh, this one?
I don't know if it's that one. If you want me to go while you read that, I can kind of sift through the other ones.
I didn't read any that said anything about Kathy.
Oh.
So anyway.
Marissa's a liar.
You know. Says, I'd like to nominate my son, Dr. William Carter Heppenstall, D.O. He is in the internal medicine program with PCOM, working out of Roxborough Hospital and Chestnut Hill Hospital. When he comes home after his 24-hour shifts, he constantly says, thank God for Preston and Steve.
Wow.
They're the only reason I didn't fall asleep driving home. So
that's, wait, what's his name?
His name is Dr. William Carter Heppenstall.
His dad performed surgery on me when I broke my collarbone 15 years ago. Yeah, Dr. Heppenstall Sr. Yeah, I broke my collarbone skiing with Pierre at Jack Frost, and I had to have surgery, and Dr. Heppenstall Sr. Performed that surgery. That's a small world.
Yes.
Yeah. So his mom...
They say you're one collarbone away from somebody.
His mom, Sue, had sent that in, which is cool.
Wow.
Here's that one. Marissa found it. It was from Tracy Martinelli. And she nominated Joan from King of Prussia, okay. Joan Landmesser. This is really long, so I'm just going to have to skim through this. Most people think of ER nurses and the physicians, the respiratory therapists, and as the frontline heroes. Yes, they are. Has anyone thought about the oncology nurse? The nurse that is taking care of cancer patients, making sure that they are eating enough to keep up their strength, making sure that the radiation burn that they receive during treatment is taken care of, making sure the CT scan and doctor wants them to have is scheduled for them so that this one, this is one little think that they don't have to worry about or take care or taking care of. Something that they don't have to think about or take care of.
Right. There are other things that are being, everyone's on extra heightened alert. Mm-hmm. And there are other things going on at the hospitals besides COVID-19.
And she also says these are the immunocompromised patients
who yes.
cannot afford to contract COVID-19. So
right,
it's
right.
very, very exactly. important that they're doing that. So that's Joan. There you go. All right. So let's get on to people who didn't get a sign, though. That's who I wanted to talk about. Here was this was one nominated from her proud parents, Laura and Bill, for Courtney Dubois in Philly. She was a nurse in the step-down unit at Jefferson Torsdale Hospital. After the pandemic hit, she applied for, interviewed, and yesterday accepted a new position in the ICU unit.
Wow.
At the same hospital. As parents, we've never been more proud of our child, yet so terrified for her health and safety. She stepped up to the challenge to help support those most in need. Speaking of Courtney, over the past few weeks, things are really getting rough for the moral of so many. The pandemic is starting to take a toll. Thank you to the station for doing this small gesture, which could mean so, so much. So there you go. They wanted to nominate her. And by the way, there are now mental health institutions stepping up to help out the workers who are really in the trenches, who are seeing people pass away so frequently and seeing their intensive care units being full and the people in the ER
helping them out.
There's some people that are mentally being affected by this, by being surrounded by so much death and despair that they need help. And so some of those groups are there for your counsel or so you can be counseled by them. Here's another one nominated by her son, Anthony. It says Teresa Brooks. Worked at Acme Markets for over 35 years, continually goes above and beyond to help every customer. We're talking about people who work in different lines of work, but she's had to step up and work more than ever, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's the deal with that. She also, aside from connecting customers to their needs in my store, my mom's been helping our family and friends with her own supply of food and toilet paper, which she hears anyone is short. And she listens to Preston and Steve back in the Y100 days, PMS, in the morning on the way to school. And then, of course, Preston and Steve on MMR. She motivated me to earn Eagle Scout and allowed me to draw my inspiration for my service project from you guys. I organized a food drive that raised over 2 tons of food.
That's awesome.
So he wants to give a shout out to the employees at Redline and Bustleton Acme. A nice, juicy shout out. And she's nominated by her son, Anthony. So there you go, Teresa Brooks. I'll do one more. My fiance, Sam Kenny, wants to nominate. Huge fan. Not me, Preston.
Okay.
This is from Caitlin, her fiance.
That's right.
Huge fan of the show. He's a scientific glass blower in Vineland, New Jersey. His company supplies scientific instruments to labs, which is crucial during this time. He's dedicated and extremely passionate about his job. He even volunteered to work evening shifts, contrary to his normal early shift, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., during this time so that his coworkers with children are able to be with their family at night.
That's wonderful.
That's another sacrifice, which is very cool. So Sam Kinney in Pittman, New Jersey. There you go.
Hey, can I give a special shout-out to some friends of ours, Preston? I want to give a shout-out to Artie Kempner, to Deanna and Joe Principe, and to Chris as well. And they're all with Autism Delaware. And today would have been the Drive for Autism outing that I have taken part in for, God, 20 years now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Obviously, that has been canceled, postponed.
Yeah.
The race this weekend that usually coincides with the Drive for Autism down in Dover has been postponed as well. I wanted to give a shout out and a thank you for all of your efforts for, you know, everything for over the past year. And I'm so sorry that, you know, things had to be postponed today.
It will be back.
It will be back.
It will be back.
It will be
yep.
back.
Yep. So there's a lot. And listen. If you want to nominate somebody to receive one of our Frontline Heroes signs, don't email us directly. You go to PrestonandSteve.com. There's a form you can fill out. All the information's right there. That's the way to get it over to us. And texting doesn't work either. So we ask that you do that. And we'll get to who we can get to. There's a lot coming in and a lot of people to thank.
Keep your message lean and mean in case it is read on the air.
Yep.
And there's so many coming in. We want to make sure that we do right by what you wrote.
Yep.
What you wrote.
We are going to take a break. And we'll come back in a minute. And don't forget, Adam McKay is going to be joining us. That'll be around 10 a.m. around the time that we have another shot. You heard Craig win $500 with MMR's Rock Refund. Well, we got another one coming up at 10. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Sometime in our lives, they
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.